Welcome to tonight's program. Thanks for tuning in. Yes, we are Ustreaming tonight, so call all your friends, all right? It is Monday. It is getting crazier and crazier in this country. I have some stuff tonight that is pretty graphic and about some of the events that have occurred over the past 72 hours. It's pretty graphic. If you have young children, it probably would be good not to have them listen to the program tonight. Coming up in the third hour, I'm going to work backwards here. In the third hour, we're going to be talking about art. Art that concerns Jesus Christos. And remember, what's his name? Andre Serrano. Okay, well, that'll give you a clue as to what we're talking about here. That's coming up later. Also, Republican candidate for the Congress who likes to dress up in Nazi uniforms and do SS Waffen SS reenactments because, you know, it's fun. I'll tell you, this crop of Republicans that are out here, you couldn't make these people up and make them more demented if you tried. And the really bizarre part is they are running neck and neck with real human beings. It's pretty astonishing. But anyway, I want to thank Brad Friedman, who sat in for us for two nights. You know, once again, I get this avalanche of emails about the bombshells that he brought out on the program, which I believe he's written about at bradblog.com today. He had great guests, two excellent shows on Thursday and Friday. And every time we have him substitute, I get people who send me emails and say, why don't you hire him and you just quit? Well, I've said it before. I think Brad Friedman deserves his own program if he wants it. It's just talk radio or radio in general is so dominated by the spiders and the bastards and the right-wingers that it's difficult for somebody as talented as Brad to get a toehold. Anyway, thanks, Brad. I appreciate it. I also have something I want to mention to you coming up next hour, something called the Fairy, as in We Folk, Sand Project. You might be interested in this. Let's start tonight with Bruce Enberg's missive, our economic affairs correspondent, a.k.a. Prairie 2. This is what he writes. The G7 finance ministers, that's the old money countries. See, it's G20 now. As soon as it's going to be G30. Eventually, it'll be G1, China. But right now, it's G7. They met at the IMF World Bank meeting on Saturday and could come up with nothing to solve the currency war that the planet is sinking into, if you haven't been paying attention. And basically handed it off to the IMF to deal with. The IMF has already been intimidated by China over its manipulation of the Chinese yuan and is still ill-equipped to do anything. The IMF prefers to bully small countries who have been put in a cash flow crisis as a result of predation by the big corporations. They impose austerity measures and eliminate the victim's social safety net and then force that country into accepting even more predation by the same big corporations. That's one of the glories of capitalism for capitalists. China, in fact, treats the victims of the IMF much better and is building a broad-based coalition in China's favor. Of course, the U.S. dollar continues to fall as it is becoming seen as inevitable that the Federal Reserve will start printing money in a big way. The weak dollar is driving up the price of grain in the United States, and on the Chicago Board of Trade, corn futures were up the limit again today. An awfully large chunk of the U.S. economy runs on corn, and this is going to create inflation pressure on the rest of the economy. That Christmas ham? It's going to cost a lot more, with the wholesale price already nearly double from last year, and inflation hasn't really taken hold yet. Officially, there is no inflation, with the Social Security Administration saying there would be no cost of living adjustment this year. Indeed, there's still talk of deflation as the day of reckoning looms on trillions of dollars in commercial loans that will come due over the next few years. And these loans, of course, are on properties that are seriously underwater. Add to that, Prairie 2 always just inspires me to, I don't know, something. Add to that trillions in corporate junk bonds left over from the last round of mergers and acquisitions that are also coming due and not likely to be paid. Then, of course, there are millions of home foreclosures that may or may not be resolved, and that could drag down some pretty big banks. The Federal Reserve holds a couple of trillion of the toxic assets based on those mortgages, but they can't go bankrupt. It's just that our money might not be worth much after the reckoning. Gold is on the way up again, but I wouldn't run out and buy any unless you really have a lot of money to risk. If you do, you're likely to lose money on gold. I would, however, recommend adding canned hams to your portfolio. Prayer too. Well, I figure we would just start the program tonight on a real downer from our good friend Bruce Engberg. Canned ham. Do we have any canned hams over there in the... We don't? That's true. We do have... Did you say that over the air? Or is that just in my headphones? Yeah, we got some halibut and salmon from our friends at... what station in... Kudo, K-U-D-O, in Anchorage? In Anchorage, Alaska, where our program is now carried. Shannon Moore and Kelly Walters, who's the producer? Right. And Kelly caught these incredible salmon and halibut. And was it halibut? I think it was halibut. And fixed them in a vacuum pack and sent them to us, and oh my God. Glenn Beck has a friend in California. Glenn Beck is really, there's no reason making fun of this psychopath anymore. He is really having a paranoid schizophrenic break with reality. I'm not trying to be funny. It's true. This guy is so far around the bend. He's not going to kill himself on television, much to my chagrin. He's going to go completely nuts and have a total nervous breakdown. That's my prediction. Now, I remember some time ago when the guy in California, Byron Williams, got involved in a shootout with California police on the freeway, I think California Highway Patrol, I think. He was on his way to commit mass murder at remember that what's the name of that place in California, the place where he was heading? Oh damn it, what was it, Kathy? The Institute. Anyway, it'll come to me in a second. This guy Williams, Byron Williams, was on his way to this institute, the Tides Foundation, that's right. It's a liberal organization that disperses money from rich people rich liberals who feel guilty, because that's the only thing that motivates rich liberals is guilt. They're not politically motivated. Okay, so a couple of movie stars are. But, you know, when it comes to big money, the only way you can motivate a rich liberal is make the person feel hideously guilty, which is very difficult to do. But the Tides Foundation handles the money from those guilty rich liberals who want to do something good with the money. And Beck, of course, has been blasting on this organization for months. And Byron Williams, is on his way there with weapons to kill people, lots of people, and to blow things up. And he was stopped by the police. and got into a gunfight with them, wounded, I think, three of them. And he's now in the Santa Rita jail near Oakland. Well, when that start, well, I'll wait till the break, and then I'll tell you what why I'm bringing this up. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. This guy, Byron Williams, has given a pair of jailhouse interviews, one with the conservativeexaminer.com and one, a more extensive one, at mediamatters.org, the liberal group. And Dana Milbank, writing at Washington Post, Sunday, mentions this. Milbank is the author of the recently released Tears of a Clown, Glenn Beck and the Teabagging of America. But anyway, Byron Williams was caught on his way to the Tides Foundation to commit mass murder and got into a shootout with California law enforcement officers, and he's in jail now. No one was killed, but I think two or three of the officers were wounded. At the time, I went on the air that night and laid the blame for this completely on Glenn Beck. And matter of fact, I went nuts about it because I really think this son of a bitch Beck is a threat to America. Number one, he's not a clown anymore. This guy is really nuts, and he should be taken off the air and put someplace very quiet, and given the drugs as necessary to keep him sedated. But at the time, I said, you know, this guy is a Beck fan. This is what happens when you listen to Beck. And I got the usual snot-drooling, dribbly, poorly written, misspelled words galore emails from a lot of right-wingers who took great offense at what I had said. Some of these cheesy right-wing blog sites had picked up the audio recording what I said that night and went all over the place, which is fine. I love that. Anyway, in his own words, Byron Williams says, quote, in these jailhouse interviews, I would have never started watching Fox News if it wasn't for the fact that Beck was on there. And it was the things he did, it was the things he exposed that blew my mind. I do enjoy Glenn Beck, and the reason why I enjoy that is because no other channel will speak about the same things that he's talking about. And if you go and investigate those things, you'll find out that they're true. Williams has pled not guilty to four counts of attempted murder of a police officer. And according to court documents, he had said he'd been on a mission to commit mass murder at the Tides Foundation, which happens also to be a favorite Beck target. So Williams has granted these interviews. And here's more of what he said. Quote, Beck is going to deny everything about violent approach, deny everything about conspiracies, but he'll give you every reason to believe it. He's protecting himself, and you can't blame him for that. So, but I understand what he's doing. End quote. Listening to Beck, Byron Williams explained, quote, you can pick up ideas, and you can get on your internet and just verify it, everything he says. Now, end quote. One of the ideas from Beck that Williams verified, quote, involved billionaire George Soros. Williams said he was inspired by Beck's shows about Soros, who Beck describes as a currency manipulator of Jewish ancestry who has, quote, disturbing hair in his nose, end quote. Beck also accused President Obama of lending $2 billion to Brazil's oil company, Petrobras, just after George Soros upped his stake in the company. Now, this is how crazy these goddamn right-wingers really are. Totally false internet rumor, but Beck picked up on it and amplified it, and it goes into these psychopaths like you, sir, listening in your car trying to find out what the left wing is talking about. I'm talking about you, you dumb bastard. And it's people like Byron Williams who pick up this stuff, see, and they go, oh. Anyway, Williams did more research, and he concluded that Soros and Obama had sabotaged the BP oil well in the Gulf of Mexico and caused the oil spill, which thereby helped the Brazilian company Petrobras. Now, these sick bastards believe this stuff, and Beck promotes it, feeds into it. I've been telling you people for months. Beck and the teabaggers in the right wing, they want murder in the streets. They want blood. They want white fighting black, gay fighting straight, left fighting right. Glenn Beck is a threat to everything in this country that still remains with any value at all. He needs to be removed from the air, sedated, and put someplace until he's well, which I don't think will ever happen. Byron Williams, this freak, who's now in jail, four counts of attempted murder. Byron Williams told the Examiner he already knew about the tides before he heard Beck speak about it back in June. But Williams said, to me, it was more of a confirmation of what I already knew. So Beck confirmed for this potential mass killer that the tides was someplace that needed to be destroyed and that the people worked there needed to be murdered. So Williams was on his way to do it. Beck, who has encouraged his followers to hear what he is saying between the sentences, he always tells the people listening to his program to listen between the sentences. And that gave legitimacy to Williams' conspiracy theories. So Williams said this also. So now they've got Beck labeled as this guy who's trying to incite violence. And what I say is that if the truth incites violence, it means that we've been living too long in the lies. You know, when you become unemployed, desperate, you can no longer pay your bills, what do you think's going to happen? You know, for crying out loud, it's going to get worse and more people are going to get desperate, end quote. Particularly if they have some freak like Glenn Beck talking to them in the media. We'll be right back.
Your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. If you want the full story on Byron Williams and his interview to Media Matters, go to MikeMalloy.com. And under Mike's Daily Blog, which I don't write, Kathy writes. Why don't you change it to Kathy's Daily Blog? I haven't been writing anything lately. About three lines into it, you'll see. So, what is a progressive hunter? A progressive hunter, you know, like a deer hunter, a progressive hunter. Click and go to Media Matters and read the whole thing. I said back when this happened that this was a result of Glenn Beck getting inside the heads of equally crazy people just like him. When you are really pathologically nuts like Beck is, you don't do it for the money, you don't do it for the fame, you do it because you're crazy. He pretty much is a dry drunk, a dry drug user, but he's crazy. And it's very easy in these days in this country to find equally crazy people just waiting for Glenn Beck to lead them into hell. And Beck is more than willing to do it. He wants to see murder and mayhem. Now, frankly, Glenn Beck is a co-conspirator in this case in California. He should be jailed also and charged with co-conspiring with this poor dumb bastard Byron Williams, who thought he was hearing the voice of God, in an effort to commit murder at the Tides Foundation and against state troopers. Glenn Beck is a co-conspirator in this case. He should be in jail. He really should. Listening to Beck, Williams said, you can pick up ideas and you can get on your internet and verify it. Now, that's one. From today, Richard Scott McLeod of Brighton, Michigan, was arrested today on weapons charges and is under suspicion of potential threats against President Barack Obama. On the outside of the 48-year-old's vehicle were bumper stickers quoting Adolf Hitler. On the inside, police say there was a picture of Obama, a loaded gun, a bulletproof vest, and tips on how to build bombs. McLeod faces charges for illegally also possessing body armor and a loaded gun. He is currently behind bars at the Ingham County Jail. So this Glenn Beck fan had a gun, a bulletproof vest, a picture of Obama. He didn't know what Obama looks like. This is how dumb these bastards really are. That's a mindset of a fox boob, violent would-be assassin. Glenn Beck is trying to get people to assassinate the President of the United States and his family. Beck is trying to have this occur. And he's getting close to it. Now, what's Beck doing? Beck is setting up his defense. Because eventually this is all going to happen. And a prosecutor someplace is going to get an indictment against Glenn Beck for co-conspiring to commit murder. That's going to happen. Take it to the bank. Just like I said, this guy, Byron Williams, I said months ago when he was popped that he did it because Glenn Beck told him to do it. Glenn Beck is going to tell people to murder the president. Now, how does he tell people to do that? Well, like Byron Williams says, you've got, like Glenn Beck says, you've got to listen to me between the sentences. You've got to listen. I'm here on a mission. God is leading me. I don't know what to do right now. All right, here's the latest thing. Here's his defense. This also is from Media Matters. This is back on Friday when Oliver Willis wrote, Glenn Beck went into new territory this morning telling his audience that he felt that possible toxins and poisons affecting his health could be traced to his studies of progressives. After detailing several recent health ailments he has been experiencing, he suggested that the poisons his doctors are looking for are linked to his attempts to, quote, understand the minds of progressives, end quote, which he termed, quote, drinking that poison, which others may not find poison, but I do because it is exact opposite of me. End quote. Now, this is what he said, quote, in the last 24 hours, I've been thinking about the doctor saying, we're looking for toxins. We're looking for poisons in your body. I know what they are. For 4 years, I've tried to understand the mind of what I believe are monsters. It started with Walter Lippmann. The first book that I closed and said, I can't read this anymore, was Walter Lippmann. And it was about how they can breed better people and how they're undesirables. I never finished the book. That was the first one. And for 4 years, I've been trying to understand the minds of people that I think are so misled. And they are the exact opposite of what I've tried to be, what I want to be, what I strive for. But I have done it because I have to. I have to understand it. I have to see what's, I have to try to understand, to explain to you what's coming, what's happening. And for my children, I also believe there are very misguided people, and I've been drinking that poison, which others may not find poison, but I do, because it's the exact opposite of me, and I've been that which you gaze upon, you become. And I've been trying not to become that, and that is the internal struggle, and that is where I want to take it next. A warning to you, and an ask for specific help on something next. And I want you to know that there is a There's a physical reason for all of this stuff I'm suffering. I don't know what it is yet, and neither do the doctors. We don't even know what all the symptoms are at this point. And that's what I'm going to be taking Monday and Tuesday off. And I'm going out west to a hospital, and I'm going to be doing all kinds of tests on those 2 days just to get them all done. And they're going to look under every rock. So there's a physical reason. But I believe physical, mental, and spiritual are all tied. It is the, you can't injure the soul of someone and not have physical wounds appear eventually. This is something I believe in. You may not believe in that, but I do. A lot of physical things, a lot of mental things are from spiritual wounds and vice versa. And as I was laying in bed the other day and I closed that book and I said, I just can't read it anymore. I started to think about it. How many times have I said, I just can't look at this stuff anymore. I can't read it anymore. But I do, because it's the task that I've had. It's my task. I've said so many times, I don't want to be this guy. I can't continue to say this. And I have said to my wife that this journey has taken years off my life. It's so diametrically opposed to me. And people in the media don't believe it, and that's fine. There are so many people that have written that they don't understand that I mean what I say when I say, I don't want to be the guy saying these things. And while I don't think that that is the reason, I do believe that your body protects you, and I don't think it's a coincidence that I have said for so long, I can't read this anymore, and I can't look at this anymore, I can't say these things anymore. And I also believe that which you gaze upon, you become. Progressivism is the poison that's killing our Constitution. And the progressives had a 95-year plan to put poison into our church. Now you tell me, Truth Seeker, does that sound like it has come from someone who's sane or even has a working definition of sanity? No. So what Beck is doing is laying the groundwork for his defense. Because he knows that he is going to, already has, inspired who knows how many people to commit murder. It just hasn't happened yet that we know of. But like the jailhouse interview with two organizations, one liberal and one conservative, right? So you right-wing bastards who listen to this program say, well, that's just at Media Matters. It's also at examiner.com. He's laying the foundation for his defense because Glenn Beck, in addition to being prone to suicide, prone to insanity, paranoid schizophrenia. I mean, do you need a better definition of paranoid schizophrenia than what I just shared with you from Glenn Beck's Friday Roadie radio program? Do you need a better definition of paranoid schizophrenia? I hate to have to do this. Oh, I don't like the burden. But God or Joseph Smith or the ruling council, somebody has tasked me to stand here in front of my chalkboard and show you how the Rockefeller Center and the Jew, George Soros, and the Tides Foundation and Barack Obama, the Negro, and gay people. Oh, I don't want this job. Oh, but I have to do it.
Coast to Coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
You belong. Nocturnal vacation. Unnecessary sedation.
10 before the hour. Beck is, like I said, he's setting up a defense. Beck is the co-conspirator in trying to have people murdered in this country. Elaine writes, Beck refers to Soros as a spooky guy, and he talks about him in a kind of caricature, cartoonish German Nazi accent. And Elaine says that's how Beck mentions him at least three times a day. Without coming out and saying it, he insinuates that Soros is a Nazi killer who, of course, funds every Democratic cause, every candidate, every media and organization. Hopefully, Soros has major security because between Obama and Soros, Glenn Beck has portrayed Soros as the, quote, true leader, end quote, of progressives, not Obama. And progressives? In Beck world, they equal Nazi, Marxist, communist, baby killing, children blowing up in classrooms, spraying blood and brains over their progressive teacher and students, death camps coming for Christians, etc. Beck says all that is about to happen, all because of George Soros. Elaine writes, as I said in email last week, he was ramping up his violent rhetoric. I guess for sympathy, he talked about his illness today. Gee, I wonder why. Well, I believe it's because he knows eventually he is going to be held responsible for what he says. These kind of filth always are. Eventually they are. Randy in Seoul, South Korea writes, Mike, Beck is doing what Charles Manson could only dream about. Pit the whites and blacks and other people of color against each other in a war of class in which the low-income whites are fighting against their own best interests by supporting the people who are exploiting them. Randy in Seoul. And David writes, Huffington Post and Media Matters have some stories that this guy was going to the Tide Center in San Francisco, and he's a Beck follower in jailhouse interview, which we just talked about, David. When will Homeland Security shut down Glenn Beck since his rhetoric is dangerous and the biggest threat to the United States, worse than bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban? What Glenn Beck does makes that group look like a Girl Scout troop. Yeah, of course. Glenn Beck is hell-bent on being the catalyst that causes a lot of blood, a lot of death and destruction, and for the same reason that Jim Jones was, and for basically the same reason that Charles Manson tried also. These are people without a moral sense. The power that people like Beck seeks is not political power. It's not rhetorical power. It's not religious power. That little exercise that he did at the Lincoln Memorial back in, when was it, September? I think that was the tipping point for Beck. I think that pushed him. And I mean, if you're a therapist, send me an email. Tell me if this is nonsense or if you think there's some truth to this. That was the tipping point. When Glenn Beck saw, whatever, 100,000 people out there who worshipped him, that validated every sick, creeping, crawling snake of an idea slithering around inside this madman's head. There was his confirmation. That's all he needed. If 500 people would have shown up, Glenn Beck probably would have gone to the basement and killed himself. But that's not what happened. So what Glenn Beck is looking for now is some way to externalize his paranoid schizophrenia. He wants to see it worked out by other people. Glenn Beck himself is not going to, you know, while he talks about the poisons and toxins coming into his body. Oh, Jesus Christ, is that classic? oh, my God. They're putting poison gas in my room. I don't know what to do. I didn't want this to happen. Oh, pray for me. Look, my hands are bleeding. Ah! This guy would never commit the murders that he's advocating other people go commit. Read between my sentences. Listen between my sentences. Listen. Listen. Please. Listen. Help me. Beck would never go do it himself because, like most psychopaths, he's essentially so locked into his own craziness. It's not that Beck is a coward or brave. He doesn't have those kinds of emotions. He lives in here, inside this little space now, where everything is fairly easy to control, except for the poisons that are coming in and the toxins. And he's going out west. He was there today and tomorrow to be tested, to find out how it's getting in. From reading about progressives, it's coming inside me. Look, my hands are bleeding. Look at my feet. And you see the marks of the thorns on my forehead. Can somebody help me? Please. Yeah, I'd like to help you, Glenn. But, I don't know. I think it'd be more fun for you to stay alive, you sick son of a bitch, and really suffer through it. Ah! We'll be right back.
Truckers.
Running against Andrew Cuomo for governor of New York, Palladino being one of the sicker individuals that the Tea Party has vomited up, and America has to deal with. Carl Palladino, every time he opens his mouth, he inserts another foot. And on Sunday, he was addressing a gathering in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, of Orthodox Jews. And he said at the time that children should not be, his word, brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is acceptable. As if, you know, I'd like to ask the same question that a lot of human rights advocates ask. At what point do you make your choice to be heterosexual? When did you make that choice? You don't remember when you made a choice to be heterosexual? Why not? Obviously, it's a choice, right? When did you make a choice? You can ask a gay person to be homosexual. When did you make that choice to become homosexual? Hello? So the point being, of course, that if you, Mr. or Ms. Heterosexual, don't remember the time when you made the choice to be heterosexual, it's probably because you didn't make that choice. Eh? You think? And as far as a homosexual man or woman, probably the same thing. They didn't make that choice. Ta-da! I remember years ago, the more disgusting and contemptible of the Republicans, right-wingers, conservatives, and Christians, and Jews would say,